Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
All right, let's talk some Cowboys here in the C-Note. Welcome into the G-Bag Nation. Great to have you in. We'll get you to Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus, the Super Bowl champion, coming up here in about 15 minutes. Segment of the Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-333-3333. Here's the Wooly Bully.
All right, let's do it. Let's do a little Cowboys news of the evening, and we will start with a podcast. Now, this is called the Twins Take Podcast, and Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer jumped on, and during this conversation, they asked him about the hiring process. Was he nervous about it? And we got a little bit more insight on how, indeed, he got the head coaching job and if, really, he was worried about leaving Dallas in general.
I think it was more that I felt prepared and I was very confident that I was the best guy for the job because we had done so many great things on offense and I knew kind of what I wanted to do, you know, from the whole team aspect. But I'd be lying.
Note, we knew that he was going to remain with the team as the offensive coordinator if he wanted that. But he wanted to be the head coach of this football
team. So if you didn't get the head coaching job, do you think you would have? Was that a done deal you were saying?
Yeah. So what we did is while they were going through the process, because there's a process, right? Sure. I wasn't sure, and there was a number of other teams, saying this very humbly, that were courting me and trying to say, hey, we want you to come be our coordinator. And so, after just talking it over with Steven and Jerry, it was like, okay, well, while we figure this out and you guys go through the interview process, which there's a thorough interview process you have to go through, we had made an agreement that I would stay here no matter what. And I didn't want to leave the things, but like she said, I really wanted to be the head coach and put our fingerprint, our blueprint on it. And that's what God had planned.
Awesome insight there. And we'd kind of heard that he was probably, they wanted him to be the offensive coordinator. And then as the process goes, you know, even Stevens talked about it, and they were like, well, hold on a second. Maybe we should just look at Shoddy as being the guy. And time will tell if that ends up, you know, working out for them. It just is another, it reminded me of earlier in the offseason with Jim Schwartz. And we played the audio of him, and he wanted to be the head coach of the Browns. And they decided, well, we want you to stay as the defensive coordinator, but we're going to go ahead and sign somebody else or hire somebody else to be the head coach. And Jim Schwartz is like, well, that's like a forced marriage. I'm not going to stick around and do that. I think it's a similar thing with Zim, as you've talked about, Brian. Like, Mike Zimmer wanted to be the head coach. He wasn't just going to stick around and be the defensive coordinator for whoever you hired. And that's the one thing, and I'm going to give the Cowboys a lot of praise for this offseason, how they went about the Christian Parker hiring, and I think a lot of that is Brian Schottenheimer. But that's the one area that it's like when they go into hiring these head coaches, I hate the idea of, well, we've already got your coordinator in place. Brian Schottenheimer is going to be your OC. Let's say they go a different route of whoever it would have been to be the head coach. Yeah. The head coach should be able to choose their staff. I don't know why the Cowboys always do that with whether it was Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy, which didn't end up working out for them, right? I mean, the numbers were good, but it didn't result in championship success. Whatever it might be, I hate, well, hey, we like this guy. He's going to be your OC. Take it or leave it. Or defensive coordinator, and they go about and hire a head coach. In this situation, he gets the job as that coach, so it didn't matter. But this is something that we've seen the Cowboys do historically as well.
Yeah, I kind of hate it that, just exactly what you're saying. You know, I mean, we're trying to think of, like, well, who would, you know, we wanted to do an extensive, you know, and it's kind of like that, it's almost like Shoddy did go in there and say, listen, I would be interested to be the offensive coordinator, you know, but, hey, well, no, we're thinking about you maybe as a, oh, really? Oh, okay, no. Sure. Well, why, you know, so, I think the hiring of Matt Eberflus changed the history of how the front office now will hire coaches.
I love that.
I think so. I think or how they will hire coaches going forward.
Just their whole process.
The process. I think that Matt Eberflus was one of those guys that was brought to Shoddy. Hey, listen, if we give you the head coaching job, you know, we want to hire Matt Eberflus as our guy. We'd like to have Matt. We really have a lot of. Well, I know Matt. Okay, yeah, you know, Shoddy's kind of. In reality, he should have said, "Well, if Shoddy was a coach with some skins on the wall as far as a head coach, he could have said, no, I really don't think that's a very good idea.' But actually, it worked out to his favor. Well, he did suffer a 7-10 season.
Right.
But ultimately, he got to hire the coordinator that he wanted to hire after an exhaustive search. I just think that after the Matt Eberflus thing, the front office said, okay, you got it. Go ahead and do what you want to do. Just in the end, you know, if you have a couple guys in mind you want us to talk to and interview, we'll be happy to do it. But I think that's the thing that will change the Dallas Cowboys going forward when it comes to hiring coaches.
Which is a huge win, yeah. Ultimately. You know, you take one step back for last season to hopefully be able to give yourself the opportunity to take a few steps forward here. And that's the best thing Shoddy has done to this point, mm-hmm. is build a staff that everyone is excited about.
It was fascinating. One cool customer who's put out a lot of really good information from Blogging the Boys here lately. He did.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL head coach tiers, who's beating expectations and who's not. So he used what he came up with here, which was an evaluation by coaches' winning percentage and an easy way to calculate a head coach's wins above average, which would be he's got a Pythagorean theorem expectation. Mm. He's using winning percentage, which ignores the margin of victory.
Is that A squared plus B squared equals C squared?
Yeah, it is. But he's using a baseline here of 0.500 as the baseline. And I guess the math just worked better for him to do this. He also is using a correction here for one score game randomness. So like just because last year you get 11-2 Denver in one score games. Usually that isn't as elite as the record suggests. Winning percentage crowns them a powerhouse. But the Pythagorean baseline he's using reveals they had the point profile of an 11-win team, showing the coach either squeezed out some extra efficiency or just simply got lucky. So it's just, you know, I don't know. Is it an exact science? No. But it's kind of cool people trying to find formulas to judge, is a coach a difference maker on game day? Which I think is very difficult to really assess, right? Like, I think Sean McVay with his play calling, you would say is. But it's fascinating because when he did this, this is every NFL coach over the last 25 years. The guy right now who has the best wins above expected is Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. He's averaging nearly two elite optimizers is the section he's in. You've got O'Connell. You've got Matt LaFleur. You've got Andy Reid. You've got D'Amico Ryans in Houston. Vrabel, Sean McVay, Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh was on here. But the highest is Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, averaging nearly two more wins above expected. So he is finding a way to really get his teams to overperform. The floor raisers in this exercise are Kevin Stefanski with Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick ended up making the floor raiser category. Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy made the floor raiser category. And Dan Campbell in Detroit raises your team's floor. And that was McCarthy in Green Bay. That was not McCarthy in Dallas. McCarthy in Dallas was in the roster stabilizer tier category, which is third. And in fact, the wins above expected was just plus 0.09, which when you compare the top of the list, Kevin O'Connell is plus 167 on the list. Now, they did do the coaches, which is a year or two, which is where Shoddy is. And it's a small sample size, and it's one where it's like we can't really assess just yet really mm-hmm. how much does this really mean. But Shoddy amongst the coaches of 1 or 2 years, Ben Johnson's at the top, followed by Vrabel in New England, Liam Cohen, McDonald in Seattle, Dave Canales, and Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers are in that elite category. And then right now, Shoddy would be the roster stabilizer category, which is what McCarthy was in last year. And he does not give you anything in terms of wins above expected. He's kind of just keeping your team afloat right now. So we'll see in the coming seasons, like, can Shoddy go ahead and raise that? I think when it comes to culture building, communicating, actually having a vision for what he wants to do and the type of team he wants to build, I'm loving all of that from Shoddy. But on game day, and I think we even saw, like, as a play caller, he was better than I ever thought he would be last year. I mean, the offense looked great. Him and Clayton Adams together seems like it's a great marriage. They work really well. But I do think we saw at times, know, the offense would, whether it was they started slow, or then it was, okay, they flipped it and we've chatted, the red zone efficiency was poor, or they couldn't find a way to score, you know, in the second half of games and finish drives in the end zone. So we're trying Brandon Aubrey out for 50 to 60 yard field goals. So there's areas here to improve. And if you're a team that has a difficult schedule and you're in a tough conference, you know, you got to win by the margins here. And is Shadi able to squeeze a little bit more to give this team that win above expected, which could be the difference from out the playoffs, a wild card team, or maybe a division champion this coming season?
Yeah, and having a defense that is at least competent will go a long way in helping some of that stuff. But yeah, I would love to know, and I'm sure when we get to Oxnard, we'll, you know, Sean and RJ or somebody will be able to pick his brain a little bit on, okay, what were the things that maybe surprised you a little bit, even from an in-game standpoint, and how you've gone about trying to, you know, remedy some of that and to where that could actually be a plus skill for you. So that'll be something that I'm excited to see. But he was just it was all stacked against him last year with how bad the defense was.
Horrific.
And so if you can get that to just being at least competent, now all of a sudden you can get a better feel for exactly Shoddy's fingerprints and how in the game he's able to handle things. Because when you know your defense is giving it up, You're coaching a little bit differently.
100%. Yeah. It's like we've got to score, and your offense is probably pressing. We had those conversations in the postgame show. Like, I'm sure Dak and the offense are taking the field, realizing, like, we better score points this drive, or else we are not going to win the game.
Not at all. All right, Krusty's Corner is coming up next.
Yeah, let's look at this roster, and I want to go through the positions that you would go long or short at, and we'll start with the offense. We'll do that next.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.